Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again. The premise of this show is to take you through all of the weekend's footballing action to hopefully prep you for a successful punting journey. Myself, Jack Reeves, joined by Racing Post Sports, top talent of Liam Flynn and Ian Wilkerson in the studio, as well as Sam Kingston from Paddy Power on the phone line to take us through all of the odds. Gents, first of all, how are we?
Yeah, all good.
Good. Let's start with the Champions League, shall we? It's back this week. The first game on the Tuesday is Atletico Madrid against Liverpool. Liam, this is going to be a very exciting game, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Champions League as a whole, I'm very excited for it to come back. I think it always comes to life in the last 16, doesn't it? You get a lot of drab games in the group stage, but you can pretty much guarantee great games across the board in the knockout phase. Very strong lineup, actually, this season. All of the teams in the knockout stage made up from teams of the big five leagues. And then you look at last season, I mean, we had 91 goals in 29 knockout fixtures last season, which is quite remarkable. So, yeah, very excited. And Atletico Madrid-Liverpool is a good clash. Perhaps not as good as it would have been a game last season. I think Atletico Madrid have kind of fallen away a little bit. Their business last summer has kind of unsurprisingly translated into quite a mediocre season. They lost Diego Godin, Luca Hernandez, Rodri and Antoine Griezmann, among others. And they've just struggled to plug that gap. Really poor result recently. They lost to Cultural Leonesa in the Copa del Rey last month. Haven't been particularly strong in La Liga. So I'd actually think Liverpool should progress quite comfortably from that tie. And obviously, as we know, with how incredible they've been in the Premier League this season, they can really just turn their attention to the Champions League and focus on that double or dare I say, treble this season. So yeah, I'd really fancy them against Atletico Madrid in the last 16. But yeah, great batch of fixtures to look forward to.
Sam, I suppose on paper, this is a fairly favourable draw for Liverpool, isn't it? How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I do think Liverpool actually look quite big, especially in the away tie here. They went off in the Premier League, they went off away to Spurs at 4-6, who I don't see being rated that much worse than Atletico. So I do think Liverpool actually look quite a good bet in this one. Atletico's home advantage will be quite high in the Champions League. They have only lost once at home this season. But Liverpool will obviously completely prioritise this game. I think they've more than enough going forward to score here. The only real way I see Atletico getting anything is if they really shut up shop and get a 0-0 draw. In this one, they have only conceded 6 at home this season. So that's really the only way I see them getting anything. But I would be backing Liverpool win and maybe covering it with the correct score of 0-0.
Ian, how should Liverpool be approaching this game?
I think they've got to approach it in the same manner that they've approached their 25 league games this season and go for it and, you know, be on the front foot. You know, it's a winning recipe. I don't think that they should be fearing anybody at the moment. Having said that, I think, as Sam alluded to, that they could be, Atletico could be quite tricky to break down. Yeah. I noted that both teams have scored in only 2 of their last 12 Champions League matches. So Simeone will be, I think he'll be looking to, he'll be fearful of playing Liverpool when they're being so rampant. And I think, I think that a draw would do him quite good. He'd be quite happy with that. And, you know, Liverpool coming off a little bit of a break, you know, is that going to affect their momentum at all? I don't know. I mean, you might suggest that for other teams, but they've plainly demonstrated this year they're not like other teams. So that shouldn't be too much of a worry for them. But I still think that a draw could be a big runner at 9-4. I wouldn't be surprised if it finished level and then obviously I'd anticipate that Liverpool would get the job done at Anfield.
Brilliant, like the sound of that. Surely to be sure to be an intriguing encounter, that one. Let's move on to the Wednesday fixture in the Champions League. It's Tottenham against Red Bull Leipzig. Sam, let's get the prices for this one.
Yeah, we've got Tottenham at 5-4, the draw at 12-5, and RB Leipzig at 2-1 in this one.
How could you see it going, Sam?
It's kind of tough to call a winner in the first leg for me, so I do like the look of goals. Leipzig, there's so many goals in Leipzig games. There's been 71 goals in 21 Bundesliga games that they've played this season, which is an average of 3.7 per game. You then look at Tottenham in the Premier League home games. There's been 37 goals in 13 games. That's an average of 2.8 per game. I know there's been a few less since Jose Mourinho has come in, but I still really like the look of goals in this one. You can get over 3.5 at 31-20. And then to go for just Leipzig goals over 1.5 is at 6-5. There's been an awful lot of goals in both teams' Champions League games this year as well, an average of 5.3 in Spurs' group games. And the last time a German side played in the stadium, there were 9 goals, of course. So, again, I do like the look of goals here, so I'd be going for the overs in this one.
Ian, can you see it being a thriller, this one?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be too confident. I'm going to the game, actually. I wouldn't be too confident about Spurs' chances. They've been unbeaten in 6. But I don't think they've been that convincing at all. They beat Man City when City battered them and then went down to 10 men and they got the advantage there. They played your boys, Norwich. Norwich gave them a really good game. I was at that game as well. And then I also went to the Southampton Cup game the last time Spurs were out. And the Saints were the better team in that game.
But they're grinding out wins.
Yeah. But I think, and there's perhaps a lot to be said. It was certainly the case when Pochettino played that Spurs were better when they're playing against a team that come at them rather than teams that were sort of like sit back and try to defend. It would allow them to sort of like push forward. And going forward, they are looking quite good, but a bit shaky at the back. And as Sam alluded to, you know, Leipzig are a very positive team. They've not won in 4, but they've scored at least twice in 12 of their 17 away games this year. And that includes all 3 games that they've played in the Champions League. So I expect them to be positive, and I think the value's perhaps with the visitors in this one.
Okay, Liam, I know you're a fan of Leipzig. Do you see this maybe going to them here?
I think it's a very difficult game to call, and I'd rather wait until the kind of first leg's over before I get involved in any kind of match result betting or looking at who's going to progress. So I think they're quite difficult to separate, and I could see the tie going all the way. I mean, if you look at Leipzig's perspective, the prospect of a Bundesliga title is absolutely remarkable for them, given they're only founded as the club they are now in 2009. And I think that will be their priority. They've not had a better chance of winning the Bundesliga in their recent history. And given that they're going to probably be stripped apart a little bit in the summer, with Timo Werner is almost certainly going to depart, I think that will be their priority. But obviously, that doesn't mean they're going to give less interest necessarily to the Champions League. So, and also with Tottenham as well, it's been a case of performances. I've still not been that impressed by them in terms of the way they're playing. I think that's just Mourinho. It's typical attribute of any of his teams. So I think it's a really difficult one to call in terms of result. If I were going to have a bet, the one I would like the look of is Dani Olmo to score first. He was a January addition, brought in from Dinamo Zagreb, a product of Barcelona's La Masia Academy. And he's just an absolutely fantastic player. And in a team like Leipzig, as Sam said, who plays so much on the front foot, I think in his opening games, he's kind of been playing in an attacking midfield role or even supporting Werner up front. And he's already got his first goal for the club, scored against Frankfurt in the cup, albeit in a defeat. So I think he'll be one to watch in the goal scorer markets when the prices are available. But as I say, in terms of match prices, I wouldn't be going towards either side particularly strongly at the moment.
Great stuff, gents. Yeah, some really exciting Champions League clashes this week. Let us know in the comments section below who you fancy to maybe progress all the way through the tournament. Right, we'll be getting on to the Premier League action later on. Of course, we're still in a winter break, so not every team is playing this weekend. I quickly want to touch on Sheffield United's European hopes. Yes, you heard that correctly. There is a genuine possibility that this could happen. They started the season at 2,000-1 to finish in the top 4. They're now around the 14-1 mark. Sam, can you see this remarkable campaign for Sheffield United continuing?
I actually can, yeah. It's just remarkable what they've been able to achieve this season. I mean, we had them at 8-11 at the start of the season to go down, which was actually top price in the industry for relegation. Some bookies had them at 4-6 and even 8-13 was out there to go down. So it's a testament to them that they've managed to stay in the league, let alone finish in the top half, let alone challenge for Europe. It's just an unbelievable achievement. They've also got the backdoor option, we noticed, with the FA Cup. They have a very winnable tie there, and we're actually top pricing them to win that at 30-1. So there is another way for them to qualify for Europe through that. But yeah, absolutely, I can see them. I can see them finishing in the top 7. They have been one of the best sides in the league this season, so why not? They do have a real chance.
Liam, I thought it was harsh of some pundits at the start of the season to be writing them off before a ball had been kicked. They were brilliant throughout League One, brilliant throughout the Championship, but I don't think even the most optimistic Sheffield United fan could have predicted what's happened this season, could they?
No, absolutely exceeded expectations by a landslide. I think a lot of pundits who were kind of criticising them at the start of the season or not giving them much of a hope are those not necessarily familiar with the Championship, don't follow the Championship, and then not actually aware how organised and how well this team is drilled. And they've just been superb this season. Before January, I would have said I think they might petter out just through pure inexperience. But having seen how well they've invested, I think they were, for me, the best team in the January transfer window of any side in England, probably, bringing Sander Berger, who was on the radar of Liverpool and Barcelona, one of the most highly rated midfielders in Europe. Zivkovic is a great player to add pace in the final third. And then Retsos is young but experienced at the back. And I think he kind of suits that overlapping centre-back system that they have going on. So I'm really impressed with their business. And another thing to note is obviously they've played both Liverpool and Manchester City home and away now. So they've got the hardest opposition they're going to face this season are done and dusted. Personally, I wouldn't want to get involved in terms of backing them. I think it's about 11-4 for them to finish in the top six this season. I still think that's a tiny little bit short, but I definitely think they've got a chance of making the top six.
I mean, Ian, in terms of the top four, though, they're 2 points off it at the moment. Yeah. They've got the investment. They've probably got the squad you'd like, a fantastic manager in Chris Wilder. Is it possible?
I wouldn't be backing it at 14-1, but Leon said that 11-4 to be in the top six. I think that's a good price. If you know what I'm really getting, like, they've lost two away games this year.
It's remarkable.
They've conceded 24 goals. Chelsea have conceded 34.
Yeah,
and their next four games are Brighton, Villa, Norwich, and Newcastle. Then they go to Old Trafford. What have they got to fear to go to Old Trafford? Spurs at home. That is a game that they should definitely think about getting 3 points from. And then they're in the box seat. I think 11-4 is a really good price about them last in the quarter. I think top four might just be a little bit beyond them. But top six, I think it's a good price. I like it.
Yeah, I agree with Ian. And never write off Chris Wilder. He's proven people wrong before and I'm sure he'll do it again. I want to quickly dip into the Championship here as well to look at Leeds United and how their season is going. Their recent form has been horrendous. West Brom sit current top of the table on 62 points. Leeds on 56. Fulham with the same amount of points. Then it's Brentford on 54, along with Forest and Preston North End on 53. It's incredibly tight at the top there. Sam, do you think the top of that table has kind of taken shape now, or do you think there's going to be more movement up there?
I'd imagine, though, there will probably be more movement. It's quite incredible what's happened to Leeds again this season, the implosion. It's actually come a little bit earlier this season than it did last season. I watched them there against Forest over the weekend and they were really outplayed that night. It seems that Bielsa just runs his teams into the ground and then towards the end of the season they tend to peter out. They did actually look a little bit better against Brentford, but again, still failing to win the game. You look at them now in the outright market, we've now got them at 13-8 not to get promoted, which is far shorter than what they were a few weeks back at 9-1. We also had them at 225 on December 11th, not to finish in the top six. That's now at 16-1. So huge differences in the prices that in Leeds prices. But I think there might actually be value in that 13-8 because you now look at West Brom, who are 6 points clear of Leeds. So there may only be one automatic promotion spot. There's so many teams in amongst it, so I'm not sure Leeds will get that. And then I certainly wouldn't be backing them in the playoffs again.
It is another fascinating season, the Championship. As Sam alluded to there, you'd probably expect West Brom to go up now. They've got a slight gap. And that chasing pack of Fulham, Brentford, Forest, even Preston, well drilled under Alex Neil. Leeds are in a really tricky position here, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think they've had their wobble early enough.
Okay.
I mean, looking at the fixtures they've got coming up, they've got 14 games left. Only five of them are against teams in the top 10. I mean, there's a bumper game. They're playing Fulham. They've got Fulham to play.
Yeah.
But not really anybody else is in the... The majority of the other teams that make up that number are around the very small bit in the middle of the table where no one's got anything to play for. Well, or might not to by the time we get round to those particular games. I think they've had their wobble. I take on board what Sam says about Bielsa, you know, running his team. That's the way his teams play. I mean, Pochettino's a big disciple of Bielsa. We've seen that at Spurs over the last few years, that they've run out of energy, perhaps, has been one of the causes of their downfall. I think they can pick up. The trouble is, though, that if you speak to Leeds supporters, you only get one review, doesn't it? It's always... You know, you wouldn't be a very rich man if you got a pound for every Leeds supporter that you've met who said, "Oh, it'll be all right. Yeah, we'll be fine." They're all doom and gloom merchants. They're all miserable. They're all looking at the floor.
They have reason to be.
Well, yeah, but I think we can overpress that a little bit too much. And I got a feeling they're going to be all right because They've hit the slump at the right time.
Okay, Liam, I'm sure you're going to shoot me down for this, but Bielsa, slightly overrated?
I don't know about overrated. I think he may have to adjust slightly to the championship in terms of learning from last season more than anything else. And as Ian said, about running teams into the ground, I mean, that has been a characteristic of his whole managerial style, his whole managerial career, whether that's to do with training regime or more likely team selection and the fact that he sticks to a sort of a core set of players. I don't know. But I think the Leeds will be okay. I think if a team's performance levels drop and how they're actually playing doesn't look too good at this stage of season, then I'd be concerned. But I think with Leeds, they have actually been playing quite well still. You look at the game against Brentford, I don't think they deserved the result in that one. But they've just not been getting the results. So I think that it's a case of if they continue to play as they have been, if Bielsa maybe adapts his style slightly and mixes team selection up a bit, I think it should click into gear and I think they should have enough. For me, they're still the best team in the division. And I think from their perspective, it's probably just a small wobble at the moment.
It's going to be the culture and the dressing room that gets them through. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, we can look at performances and we can look at, and there's only a certain degree of insight that we can gain on that. I mean, Bielsa's obviously, his reputation as a football theorist is probably second to none. Yeah. You know, the people he's influenced, some of the best managers in the game, like the way that they play, Klopp, Guardiola, Pochettino, you know, they're all disciples of him, you know, the way that he plays. But he's not necessarily transformed that into the practical ways of being a football manager during his career. So I just think that it will be down to the, we talk as much as we like about the manager and the great, you know, great football man that he is. It's going to come down to the players and their mental attitude. And if they can swim through this, then I think they'll be all right.
For sure. It's going to be a tantalising finish to the season in the Championship, whatever happens. Right, let's move on to the Premier League fixtures then. We've got one on Friday night between Wolverhampton Wanderers and Leicester City. Sam, take us through the prices and who you fancy for this game.
Yeah, we've got Wolves here at 6-4. The draw is 9-4. And Leicester are 9-5 in this one. I'm not actually going to pick a winner in this one. I'm going to go for the score draw in this. And I do like a halftime full-time market as well here with Leicester to win the first half and a draw in the second half. Wolves have actually conceded 66% of their goals in the first half and Leicester have scored the opening goal in their last 8 away Premier League games. So that would very much signify that Leicester will probably score the first goal in this one. Wolves have then gone on to draw 11 games this season, so they do like a draw. So if that trend continues, I could see it being Leicester leading the first half and then Wolves getting themselves back into it. We're feeling a little bit braver. Maybe the halftime correct score of 1-0 and then 1-1 full-time, that's at a big 20-1. Wolves have only conceded 1.28 goals per game. So if they continue that good defensive record, maybe they'll only concede one goal and end up finishing the game 1-1 here.
Liam, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'd side with Wolves in this one. I think 6-4 is quite a good price. They're obviously coming to the end of what's been a tricky spell for them, really. I mean, they'd obviously had that game where they fought back against Southampton. They pushed Liverpool very close at Molineux, to be fair, until a late goal, obviously, saw them lose that one. And Molineux this season have only lost 3 of their 12 league fixtures, so they've been fairly strong there in terms of not losing games, at least. And I think Willy Bolly is a big factor for them coming back into that back three. He really enhances their rear guard. And if you look at Leicester, the top scorer, Jamie Vardy, obviously this season, he hasn't scored in his last 7 appearances. Obviously, he had that injury, which set him back a bit slightly, but he's been caught up in the Premier League race for the Golden Boot. Big fan of Daniel Podence, the wide player from Olympiacos, who Wolves brought in. I think if you were looking at players across Europe who suit Wolves' style, there's scarcely a better player. So I think he certainly enhances him in terms of that counter-attacking threat that they carry. And I don't think Leicester particularly like playing against teams who play on the break and like to counter-attack. So if I were to go with a match result, yeah, I'd be favouring Wolves.
I know Mark has said multiple times on the podcast, Ian, that he thought Leicester would maybe tail off slightly. Mm. Their expected goals weren't really matching their match results. Can you see Wolves picking up the win here?
I think it'll be quite an open game and one that I'm looking forward to. These are two of the teams that I enjoy watching most in the Premier League. And it's interesting to note that both teams have scored in 7 of Wolves' last 8 home games. And you would expect Leicester, the way that they play, that they'll go on the front foot as well. And they've failed to score in just 1 away game this season. So I was a little bit surprised to see that you can get over 2.5 at even money. I think it's pretty hard to separate these two teams.
Yeah.
And they've both play good football. I think we could be in for a really entertaining game. Well, I hope, you know, on paper, you know, shoot me down. I'm sure, you know, I'm waiting to be hung up for that. Yeah, probably. But yeah, I think evens for over 2.5 goals, I think that's quite a generous price in this one.
Sounds a good argument to me. Right, let's move on to the Saturday midday fixture between Southampton and Burnley. Sam, give us a show of the prices here.
We have Southampton 8-11 here, the draw 13-5, and Burnley are 7-2 here.
Do you favour the home side here?
I don't, actually. Southampton have only won 2 of their 12 home games this season, so they have seemed to be in fairly good form this season, but at home they still struggle to pick up points. They've started as favourites in 6 home games, and of course they've only won 2 of them. Interestingly, the last 7 Premier League games between these sides have been goalless at half-time. So I am going to go for the 0-0 at halftime again. I think Burnley will set up quite defensively here and try to especially nullify the threat that Danny Ings will cause. I'm not actually too sure that Southampton will score. They've only scored an average of 1.08 goals at home this season, and they are coming up against a good defensive outfit in Burnley. So I'm going to go for Burnley plus 1 at even money. And then if you fancy the Burnley to nick a goal in the second half, you can get Burnley to win to 0 at 7-1 here.
Great stuff, Sam. Yeah, Ian, I agree with Sam there. I thought Southampton looked a little short here.
Yeah, maybe, but I keep thinking about that game I saw at White Hart Lane the other week, that they were progressive. I've just got the feeling that maybe results haven't come, but they just look like they're going to turn the corner and drag themselves out of it. So I see this as a good opportunity for them to get right. I take on board what, I mean, some of their their goal stats, you know, for home games are very much distorted by that 9-0 thumping that they got to Leicester. So they've scored in all their but 2 league games since October 2018. So, you know, they are pushing on. And Burnley won at United in their last away game. So they should be able to take some confidence in that. But I've been impressed with Ings. Yeah. I think, you know, he's reaching a fine form. He's become almost a talismanic figure for Southampton, so I quite like him to score first, 3-1. I know he's a favourite, it might sound a bit short, but I still think there's a bit of value in that. And also, flying in the face of what Sam said, having seen the progressive nature of their performance at Spurs, I think them to score more than 1.5 goals at 5-6, I'd be having a little dabble on that as well.
Okay, well, contrasting opinions. Yeah, Danny Ings has been fantastic this season, hasn't he? Liam, how do you see this game going?
Yeah, kind of combining the low scoring angle with Southampton. Southampton under 3.5 goals at 11-8. I think it's quite a good bet in this one. Before the tough away trips to Spurs and Liverpool, Southampton absolutely flying. They've beaten Aston Villa, Chelsea, Tottenham, Leicester and Crystal Palace since mid-December. So on an excellent run of form in it. As I think we've spoken on this podcast before, it just shows the benefits of sticking with your man, sticking with your manager in Ralph Hasenhüttl after that 9-0 mauling, and they've, you know, reaped the benefits of that. Danny Ings, we said, absolutely brilliant this season. He's 6-4 now to make the England squad for Euro 2020. 14 league goals this term. That's the same number as Aubameyang, Rashford and Salah. And you think with the kind of bracket we put those players in, I mean, Danny Ings has really exceeded expectations this season. I think when they've got a player like that in their team, it does really make a difference. He carries their principal goal threat, but obviously Sean Dyche, that his men typically keep it quite tight. Successive clean sheets absolutely nullified Arsenal in a very, very dire game, really, at Turf Moor. But that's often how they operate against teams who like to play on the front foot. I think he's pretty much got a clean bill of health, apart from maybe Ashley Barnes as well. So I think defensively they should be okay, but I'd still side with the Saints. So I'd go for them to win in a low-scoring game.
Brilliant. We'll go for a quick break and we'll be back very shortly to go through the rest of the Premier League action and also look at the EFL. See you shortly.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Thanks so much for joining us and sticking with us through a look at the Premier League fixtures. Myself, Jack Reed, joined with Liam Flynn and Ian Wilkerson in the studio alongside Sam from Paddy Power. Right, gents, game of the weekend, Norwich versus Liverpool at Carrow Road. I'll be there. Sam, any hope for a Norwich fan here?
I'm not so sure. We've got Norwich at 10-1 here. We've got the draw at 9-2, and we've got Liverpool at 1-4. I do think Norwich will score, though. If Liverpool are going to be groggy at all this week, it probably will be in this game after their 2-week layoff. I can see Norwich scoring a goal. We've got Liverpool and both teams to score at 13-8. Norwich have played four of the top six at home this season. They've lost 1 of 4, and they've scored in all of those games. They've also scored 9 of their last 12. Liverpool's defensive record has been really good of late. They've actually only conceded once in their last 10 Premier League games. But if you dig a bit deeper into some of those games, they have got a little bit lucky. You look at the Martial chance at Anfield. You look at Southampton's first half chances at Anfield. Wolves also scored that that offside goal, which was an inch offside. His big toe maybe was offside. So I do think Norwich will score a goal here. But again, I think the trend will continue that Liverpool will win the game. I do like correct score of 2-1 here as well. Actually, 8 of Liverpool's games this season have finished 2-1, which is 32% of games, just a huge amount. And also Norwich's five of Norwich's last 6 defeats have been by a 2-1 scoreline as well. So that at 13-2 does look a decent price to me as well.
Yeah, Leo, I mean, all the stats here favour Liverpool. It's top versus bottom. I think it's the only time this season Liverpool have had a fully fit squad to choose from. Mm. But the interesting thing here is we're actually shorter for this game than we were when we beat Manchester City earlier in the season. It was one of our 3 wins this season. Granted, this is going to be a very tough game for Daniel Farke's men, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'll give you a little bit of hope.
Okay,
the bet I like the look of is just both teams to score, playing at 4-5. Obviously, you know, winning's been a habit for Liverpool this season. There aren't really enough superlatives to describe a run of 24 wins and 25 league fixtures. I mean, it's just, you know, I've not seen it before. It's absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, as you say, the stats, you know, 55 points separate these teams in the league, which is quite remarkable at this stage of the season. But football's not that simple. And it would be typical of the Premier League if Liverpool were to go and lose their unbeaten record at the bottom place, Norwich. So, I for that reason, I think both teams to score is a fairly safe option. I expect Norwich to give Liverpool a good game. I mean, you look at the opening day of the season at Anfield, obviously they lost that game 4-1.
We won the second half.
Yeah, won the second half, got on the score sheet and managed 12 shots, which is not to be sniffed at Anfield for a team that, you know, first game after being promoted. So I think Norwich have learned a fair bit since then. And you can look at this game as a bit of a free hit as well, which is always beneficial. Buendia and Cantwell can cause problems. Big fan of both of them. Dare I say, if you do go down, I would be quite happy for Arsenal to snap up one of those or both. But yeah, both teams scored in 10 of Norwich's 12 home league games this season, so I think that's probably the best bet to go with.
Definitely. Ian, I mean, you have to kind of cherish this Liverpool side, don't you? They are just phenomenal.
They are, you know, they are right up there with the best teams that have played in the Premier League. You know, you could argue this is the best team that's ever played in the Premier League. Other teams have had the wobbles. You know, Arsenal, when they went to the season event, they drew a lot of games.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've brushed aside pretty much everybody they've played this year. From a bet from this perspective, I like the Liverpool double result at 5-6. That's copped in 11 of their last 12 games. I did see Norwich I saw Norwich at Spurs every week, thought they played well. You watch them every week. I mean, to me, they just grab me as just a team that's just they're just a couple of players short. And how are you feeling about this big game?
Nervous, slightly nervous. Although, that being said, I think we have played better against the bigger sides this season. We beat Manchester City, as Sam said there. We've played all of the top four and scored against the majority of them. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy. But as you say, it feels like all of our the opposing fans are being like, Norwich are good, but they still lost. And unfortunately,
yeah.
That's...
We've got nothing to lose in this one, though.
We like have got nothing
to lose. So you've got nothing to be nervous about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be nervous.
Something like that.
It's a game of football.
I'm still nervous. Right, let's move on to the next game. At Super Sunday, the first game is on 2 o'clock, Sky Sports. It's Aston Villa against Tottenham. Sam, show the prices and your thoughts, please.
Yeah, we've got Villa at 3-1 here, the draw 11-4, and Tottenham at 5-6 to win this one. Again, I'm staying away from picking a winner in this one. I'm going to go for goals again. Spurs with only 2 away wins all season, and Villa 17th in the home table, which is why I'm staying away from picking a winner here. But 5 of Villa's last 6 Premier League games have had over 2.5 goals. Spurs have only kept 1 clean sheet away from home all season, which was that 0-0 a few weeks ago at Watford. And Villa have actually conceded in each of their last 9 competitive games. So I do like the look of both teams to score. I've added in over 2.5 goals as well, which if that's done as a single game multi on site, you can get just bigger than 10-11 on that.
Brilliant. Ian, I remember your game with Aston Villa earlier in the season. I think it was
It's the reverse of the first day, isn't it?
Of course it is. You just about scraped through that game. Can you see this one being slightly easier or not?
No, I you know, you've been pessimistic about your boys, and now it's my turn. I think Villa can win this game. I mean, that, like Sam said, you know, two away wins all season. Spurs, when we talked about the European game, I said, oh, you know, they're six unbeaten, but perhaps haven't been as convincing as they might have been. They've had a bit of a break. Concerns for this one is that they're just, they just look a bit cumbersome at the back. I mean, Aurier looks great going forward, but he's always prone to doing something mad. Sanchez has had his moments. Alderweireld's, you know, he's holding them together, really, because, I mean, Vertonghen, they showed, you know, anybody saw that Southampton game, like, when he came off, and, like, it's almost as if he's just tipped over the edge. So I think Villa can put them under pressure. With Villa, I've been waiting for weeks for them just to hit that next gear and just claw themselves away. And they, when I've seen them play, they don't seem to be playing that badly, but they're just not getting the results. And I just think that this this is a game that that could give them a good lift, and this could push them on. So I think 3-1 Villa is quite a big price. I'd be going in on that. Well, not with my own money. I wouldn't want to make an emotional investment, but those not emotionally invested, I would suggest that 3-1 Villa would be a decent price.
Of course. Liam, with all of that being said, though, Aston Villa, as Ian mentioned there, they've played relatively well throughout the whole season, but they just can't get the results when they need to, can they?
No, and I think it's boiled down to issues in the final third. Obviously, Wesley wasn't necessarily the player they thought he would be, in the same sort of, I think, with Samata. Obviously, he scored now, but I'm still not entirely convinced he's the kind of player you bring in mid-season when you're struggling for goals. For that reason, I'd combine the low goal scoring angle with a Tottenham win in this one. So Tottenham to win in under 3.5 goals at 7-4. You know, Tottenham have got a long way to go, but there have been positive signs, not least obviously a 2-0 defeat of Manchester City and the emergence of Steven Bergwijn, who I think they picked up on for an excellent price in January. Really exciting player. I have my doubts about Tottenham generally, but I think outweighing them are my concerns about Aston Villa. Still missing kind of a spine of players. I know I said about Wesley not being particularly good, but he was their main striker, and he's obviously out now, along with John McGinn and Heaton, and now potentially Eric Conser as well. So it's kind of a key spine of their team all out for this game. They're just short of goals and confidence after a defeat in that 6-pointer with Bournemouth. So I think they're worth opposing. I'll go Tottenham to win under 3.5.
Yeah, I agree. Fascinating encounter, that one. Arsenal versus Newcastle is the later game on Sunday. Sam, how are Paddy Power looking for this?
We have Arsenal 2-5 here, the draw 7-2, and Newcastle are 7-1.
Liam, straight back to you. Confident for Arsenal?
No, it's a hat trick of pessimistic fans, I'm afraid. I don't fancy Arsenal at that price at all. I think the bet in this one for me is under 2.5 goals, 6-5. I think it's quite generous price. The 0-0 draw with Burnley was a seriously poor game. Only saw two shots on target per side. I mean, Arteta, he's definitely got the confidence of the players up and drilled them, but I think, you know, still just struggling really to turn possession into goals and draws into wins more than anything. The number of games Arsenal have drawn this season is ridiculous. You turn a few of those into wins, I know it's not that easy, but you'd be right up there. So I think it's just that killer instinct in the final third, which funnily enough has been something that we're not normally actually that concerned about with Arsenal, but it is starting to creep in. I think he just kind of needs a full summer to kind of work with that team, you know, work bringing players when Saliba comes in, maybe moving forwards Arsenal will look a little bit stronger. But yeah, for this game, definitely swerving them at 2-5. Under 2.5 goals clicked in the reverse fixture on the opening day of the season. Obviously, seldom seen Arsenal away win and clean sheet. They won 1-0 in that one. It's also clicked in 5 of Arsenal's last 7, and 6-5 is value. First goal scorer bet, maybe Fabian Scher, Newcastle, 25-1, quite big. Scored twice in the league from centre-back, and Arsenal have conceded 10 times from set pieces this season, so that's maybe one to look at as well.
25-1 goal scorer bet. Love that. Sam, what have we made of Arteta so far? It doesn't quite feel like they've gone to another level, does it?
Not really. I mean, the performances definitely have improved, but you still can't win games. There is still something wrong there. For this game, I mean, I can't believe Arsenal are going off so short in any game in the Premier League at 2-5 this season. It really is quite remarkable considering they've only won 6 games out of 25 this season, drawn 13 of them. So the value really should be in the draw here. I can understand why they're short against, well, I can't really understand why they're so short, but if they were going to be so short, I can understand why it would be against Newcastle, who are bottom of every single XG table you look at there. The overall XG table, the home, the away, even the last 5 games, they're bottom of that as well. So they're a side who create very, very little, and they have a striker who can't score as well. So it's hard to see where Newcastle will score from. agree with Liam. If they do score, it will probably be from a set piece. So Fabian Schär could be the one to get on there. But considering Arsenal have drawn so many games, both teams struggle to create a lot at all. I think the 0-0 here at 13-1 could be the bet.
And I feel like a lot of people have been a bit harsh with Newcastle this season. I think everyone was writing them off at the start, and they're probably going to stay up, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm probably because there's teams below them that are worse than them. I mean, you know, Sam outlined their problems there, and I was thinking the other day, when was the last time that I thought, cool, that's a good sign in for Newcastle. I think it was when they bought Aspria. You know, it's just, I always feel underwhelmed by the players. You know, you just think, yeah, well, yeah, but isn't he doing well? Right. Setting the world alight. But, you know, it was just, you know, it's just, obviously, you know, there's been lots of issues about the ownership and that, and they've been treading water for quite some time. I note that they've scored in 5 of their last 7 away games, though. Like the boys, can't touch Arsenal at 2-5. Yeah. You know, it's far too short. One player I do like who's recently come through the door is Alan Saint-Maximin.
Yes.
I think he's got the sort of like the robust nature that could really cause problems for that Arsenal defence. He scored a cracking goal against Oxford in the Cup. Yeah, and I think that's going to give him a boost as well. I note that for each way poke, 14-1 for first goal. Yeah, I wouldn't put anybody off that. I think he could pop up with a good...
Yeah, very exciting player indeed. Right, we'll be getting the boys' nap shortly after this short break.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast. Right, a few more things to get through. Monday Night Football. This is a fantastic game. Chelsea against Manchester United. Sam, do you fancy the home side here?
Slightly. I'd probably slightly edge towards Chelsea, but I wouldn't. I'm not sure if I'd back either of them to win the game. We've got Chelsea at 8-11, the draw 13-5, and then Man United at 10-3. Again, I'd be on the goals in this one. I like over 2.5 here at 4-5. There's been an average of 3.08 goals in Chelsea games this season versus 2.6 in Man United games. So that would signify that there probably will be goals in this one. But I would stay away from both teams to win the game. I mean, Chelsea have only 6 points in their last 5 games, United with 4 points. So neither side are really in the best of form. So I'd like the goals. If I was to edge towards a side, it would be Chelsea. So you can get Chelsea and both teams to score then at 13-5.
Liam, Chelsea 8-11, is that a bit too short for you to get on board?
It's a little short, but it's my tip. As I think I would still like to go for Chelsea in this one. I earned a good point away to Leicester last time out. And despite there sort of having been a bit of an unhealthy reliance on Tammy Abraham this campaign, I think they still just carry more attacking threat than Manchester United, who are just desperately missing Marcus Rashford. They haven't scored a league goal since Rashford was injured. Interesting stat as well, they failed to find the net with their last 50 shots in the league. So I think they could probably struggle to make an impact to Stamford Bridge, and purely from an attacking perspective, I think Chelsea can outscore them and get the win.
Yeah, an important game this for Chelsea, isn't it, Ian? Yeah. I mean, they've got
they need to kick on a little bit as well, really. I mean, they've lost 1-6, but they have had a few wobbles on their own patch this year. Yeah. West Ham won there, Bournemouth won there. I just think, I mean, there was a time when this was like one of the best games that would be a highlight of the season, a game like this, and I just don't, they're both treading water for me at the minute. Mm. United haven't scored in 4 of their last 5 Premier League games, so I'm not really anticipating it being a thriller. And I'm going to go against Sam's suggestion, and I think that it won't be a thriller. And unders at 10-11, under 2.5 goals, I think it could be a bit of a grind.
Good stuff. Yeah, an exciting fixture list in the Premier League this weekend. Right, a quick question from our viewers on Twitter. Sam, we'll start with you first. They ask, any early betting tips for Euro 2020, dark horse winner, top scorer, etc.? How do you think the Euro 2020 is going to play out?
I think England look a little bit short anyway. Sorry to say that. We have them priced up at 9-2 here. I like the look of a couple teams that come in behind England. We've got Belgium there at 5-1, and we've got Holland at 6-1. Both really good sides. Belgium obviously have underachieved a little bit with the golden generation that they have. So I think this could be the tournament for them. And then Holland as well. They looked really good in the group stage. think they topped the group that that Germany were in as well. So they look a really decent young outfit. So I would be going for either one of them.
Okay, yeah, I think I agree with Sam that England a little bit too short. Who do you fancy away from them?
Yeah, sorry to be boring, but my two picks are Belgium and Holland as well. I think Belgium, firstly, as we say, we're kind of coming towards the tail end of that golden generation now, and they need to kind of prove something. They were absolutely phenomenal in qualifying, and they can't always tell a massive amount from that, but their performances were brilliant. And, you know, the World Cup, they weren't far off. They gave France, who eventual winners, a very good game, and they just looked strong all throughout. You look at the Dutch team, I just think with that base of Virgil van Dijk and Matthijs de Ligt, probably the strongest defensive unit in going out to play in Euro 2020. The only issue I've had for them is going forwards, and I've been a little bit concerned about them in a final third. But Memphis Depay is now scoring goals, and a youngster, Daniel Marlin, is in the Eredivisie. He's scored 11 goals this season. He's 21. Can play on the flank or through the centre. So he's only played, I think, four times or something for the Netherlands so far, but not actually listed, I don't think, not actually priced for a top goal scorer just yet. But he's might be worth a little look, a very big price, I'm sure. Another player to keep an eye on in the top goal scorer market, I'd say, is Ciro Immobile for Italy. Top goal scorer in Serie A this season, 25 goals, five more than Cristiano Ronaldo. Just been absolutely brilliant for Lazio all season long. And I think Italy can have a fair go at this tournament because they don't have a lot of expectation on them despite having done quite well in qualifying as well. So, yeah, two teams I'd be looking at, Netherlands and Belgium. Goal scorers I'd be looking at Mobley and maybe Daniel Marlin. But we'll see if he comes through.
I like it. Ian, what about you?
It's a very different tournament, mainly because people are going to get the opportunity. Most of the big boys are going to get the opportunity to play three home games in their group, which is obviously, you know, it's a bit of I'm a bit sceptical about that, really. I don't know whether it's going to really suit. It's not going to be the same for me. Interesting to see England so short when it looks like they're going to go with their with two injured strikers rather than the customary one to a major tournament in the summer. With Rashford and Kane, who would obviously, you know, they'd definitely be in the starting lineup if they were thinking. So, yeah, I'm swerving them, really. Flinny said, Holland, they had a solid qualifying campaign, one in Germany. That's got to give them a bit of a boost. They've obviously had their qualification problems in the last few years, but I think they look the real ticket this year. They've got one of the playoff winners and then Ukraine and Austria in their group. All their games are in Amsterdam. I should think that they can push on from there, and I would see them having a successful tournament. Top goal scorer wise, carrying on with the Belgium theme, I wonder if Belgium are going to be a bit like Spain. They had that expectation for so long, and then they got over the line in the Euros, and then they kicked on for various tournaments. I think Belgium will do well, and Lukaku, flat track bully, you know, I can see him sort of like filling his boots in the qualifying rounds. He's back in good form with Inter. He's longer than, he's a bigger price than Harry Kane. He's only got one hamstring at the minute. So I'd be siding with him. I backed him at the World Cup and on a similar sort of thing. And I wouldn't swerve away from that, really.
Brilliant. Well, I think for the first time in the show, the gents are agreeing on something there. So make of that what you will. Right, let's quickly get a spin through the other fancies from the gents throughout all of the other leagues, the EFL and also in Europe. Sam, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I've got quite a few here, so just bear with me. We've got, first of all, Salford. They're up against the Stevenage side here, who've lost their last five. Our League Two correspondent and work really does not like Stevenage. They failed to create very much at all, and he thinks that they are a shoo-in to go down. Salford also signed Gibson and Wilson in January, two very good signings there. And that midweek defeat to Plymouth was actually their first in seven games as well, so they look quite good at the minute. I've got Verona. They recently, last week, beat Juventus by 2-1. And they also got an away draw to Lazio, incredibly beat both of them on XG as well. They've looked really good. They're up to six now in Serie A, and they're playing against a Udinese side who have failed to win in four, lost three of those as well. We've got Valencia as well. We're staying quite big on Atletico Madrid. In this game, it looks like Morata will likely be missing for Atletico. Valencia's home form this season has been really good. They've won seven of their 12 games, and they're yet to lose as well. Whereas Atleti hadn't won in five before that 1-0 scrappy win against Granada last week. So we like Valencia in the office as well. And then I like Derby as well. They're at home to Huddersfield. And Derby are second in the home table in the Championship and 21st in the away table. So a massive difference between their home and away form. They've won their last four at home. Huddersfield have lost their four of their last five away games. So I do think that there's value in Derby there. And if anyone wants to get on that fourfold, it actually comes in at around 30-1. So it's one I'll be getting on myself.
Brilliant, yeah. That'll keep you busy, won't it? Liam, any fancies?
Yeah, so one from the EFL. Firstly, 4-6, Swindon to beat Scunthorpe. I think losing Owen Doyle, who returns to parent club Bradford in January, had the potential to seriously derail Swindon's promotion pursuit in League Two, but still going strongly. Wins over Northampton next to this month, keeping them top of the pile. Scunthorpe have only won 9 of their 33 assignments, so I think they're worth opposing. And two from Europe at slightly bigger prices. Freiburg to beat Augsburg at 23-10. 8th place Freiburg punching above their weight this season, really, but they've been superb. Have done so with a relatively small group of players. Reliable attacking duo of Niels Pettersson and Luca Waldschmidt could cause problems for Augsburg. Have lost 4 of their last 5 in the league, and they fell to a 5-0 capitulation at Eintracht Frankfurt last time out. And then finally in La Liga, Real Betis to beat Leganes. Leganes languishing in 19th, and a really odd move in January, which is going to hinder their sort of La Liga survival bid. They lost their key forward, Youssef El-Nesri, went to Sevilla for €20 million. I didn't really understand that move, to be honest. And won only 4 of their 23 league matches this term, and then a very attack-minded Betis, who boasts the likes of Nabil Fekir and Borja Iglesias, should have too much for them in the final third.
Yourself, are you in any exotic European fantasies?
No, I'll be staying at home. I echo Sam's statement about Stevenage.
Have they got a full ground yet? Because they were repairing.
It's down the road from my hometown, and I know a few people who go and watch them on a regular basis, and they have been saying all season about how terrible they are. So, like Sam, I'd expect Salford to see them off. And my nap really is in the Championship. I'll take Stoke to beat QPR. I mean, Stoke lost to Preston last night on Wednesday, but they've been picking up and. They got thumped 4-0 at Derby, but I think that was a bit of a blip, really. And that is their only, before last night, that was their only defeat in their last 6 matches. Whereas QPR have been struggling for goals. They thumped Cardiff 6-1 on New Year's Day, but I mean, that looks like a blip. And a 1-0 win over Leeds, that was their only other success in their last 11. Not scored in their last few games. I think they're vulnerable. So Stoke at 13-8.
Brilliant. I think Ian may have gone a bit early there with the nap, but anyway, let's get the boys' naps now.
This will not be beaten.
Right, gents, no pressure here. Let's try and deliver 3 winning naps. Sam, let's get yours.
Yeah, my nap comes from Serie A this week. I'm going for Atalanta there at home to Roma this week. Atalanta have just been so good in recent weeks. They're an incredibly balanced side. I also fancy them to do quite well in the Champions League. They're 4th in Serie A at the minute, but they're top of the XG table in Serie A. So that does show how many chances they create. And with Zapata coming back into that team, he's playing alongside the inform Ilicic as well. So there's so many goals in that. Roma have also conceded 7 goals in their last 2 games against Bologna and Sassuolo. So they have issues. They have their own issues. So Atalanta here, we've got them at 8-11 on side at the minute. They're my nap this week.
Atalanta. Liam, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to the Bundesliga, favourite league. Gladbach to beat Düsseldorf at 8-11. Gladbach are only 4 points off leaders Bayern Munich with a game in hand in what is a very tight Bundesliga title race. And I think they can tighten their grasp on top 4 spot with a victory. Got an excellent point in a 2-2 draw with Leipzig last time out, although it did come at the cost of an Alassane player suspension. But they've got players like Marcus Thuram and Jonas Hoffmann in their ranks who should easily outscore the league's lowest scorers, Düsseldorf, who are in a fierce relegation battle.
Brilliant. Ian, I hear you've got another one.
Sorry, mate. Liverpool, double result. Okay. Norwich, 11 out of, like I said earlier, 11 out of 12 matches, Liverpool's games that this has come in. Plucky though your boys are. I'd love to, I've got soft spot. I'd love to see them put up a real shot. I just think this Liverpool team are just awesome. And I think they'll get an early goal and then they'll sit on that and get the job done. So that's 5-6.
Fair enough. Norwich plucky, but not plucky enough. Sam, will we be getting this enhanced on the Paddy Power site later on?
We will, yeah. We'll put those 3 selections together and we'll get it enhanced there to a nice price on site.
Brilliant. So that's Atalanta, Gladbach and Liverpool double. Thanks to Liam, thanks to Ian and thanks to Sam for another great week of the Football Postcast. We've got a bumper Friday coming up of racing shows. We have got the What a Shout team back, led by Dave Orton. Maddie's back for the Racing Postcast and also a brand new show, Charlie Post, will be leading Racing Post Live. See you then. And also, we'll be back next Thursday for another Football Postcast. If you're going to be gambling this weekend, please gamble responsibly. And we'll see you very soon.
Friends, Or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.